Hey, welcome in everybody to the No Countouts podcast here for Clocker Sports. My name is Tyler Pearson here with Matthew Dahlberg. You can find us on the social medias. You got Twitter. The podcast is No Countouts Pod, all mumbled together, one word. No caps, no spaces, no underscores. No Countouts Pod. You have Matthew on Twitter, M_Broski21. And it's not because he likes drunk.
No.
Big Matt Seidel, I almost said Matt Seidel fan. Wow.
Oh, boy. Much different Matt wrestler.
Yeah. But also, I believe Matt Seidel also had a WWE experience. Anyways.
He did.
My Twitter is T_Pearson10 the number 10, letters F-O-U-R. And let's just get into it. A lot of stuff with WWE, whole bunch of stuff with AEW, a little bit of Being the Elite as well. So let's just get right here into it. So WWE, finally, after I mentioned this on, I believe, episode 2 or 3 of the podcast.
It was in June, I think. That's how long ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had mentioned that Kairi Sane was probably going to be on her way out. So look for her to be exiting one way or another. And then it was kind of up in the air that maybe she might stick around in Japan and become some sort of face for WWE out in Japan, some sort of ambassador, try to get potential rumors of a partnership out there in Japan with some other promotion. No, that's not going to be it either. She's just going to go home. It was kind of made official when you had Triple H come out and send out a tweet of thanking her for all that she's done and all the talent that she has, for the memories. And they had other superstars coming out as well. There was a tweet. I don't know if it was a tweet, if it was mentioned on a YouTube or a backstage segment. Asuka said something about how she doesn't feel lonely when Kairi Sane's with her. So what that kind of makes you question what's now the future for Asuka, which you just look at how she was written also this week. She might not be happy there either. So Kairi Sane is leaving the WWE. The greatest elbow in the industry right now has left the building. They had the Raw Women's Championship match that I guess was vacated briefly.
Yeah, that's the technical term, because it was stolen, not awarded to the person who gave it, but also not returned to the person it was stolen from. So
you're right.
That's technically a vacation, if you're gonna call it that.
So it was very structured. It was very well structured out about how this match can be. You can have someone win the title by a disqualification, by a countout. If Bayley were to get involved in any way, the champion would be awarded in that matter. Mm-hmm. Turns out, by countout,
everyone's
favorite. Asuka, the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, though, Bayley got involved. So I don't know.
But
how...
not in the ring. She was involved.
Okay, very true.
Outside the ring.
Au contraire, mm-hmm. My friend. So you have Asuka having Sasha dead to rights in the ring,
mm-hmm.
And Bayley comes on the Titantron, or their version of the Titantron in the PC, and she is beating the hell out of Kairi Sane. Kairi Sane, mind you, with a singles victory over... Oh, I'm sorry. Two singles victories over Shayna Baszler. She won the inaugural Mae Young Classic. And then also defended the NXT Championship, Women's Championship one time against Shayna Baszler as well in a singles match. Not a whole lot of women can say that on the roster.
No.
And she gets written off of TV being punked out by Bayley. Bayley, who had a mental breakdown going after a kendo stick on a pole. Bayley, who is now coming to terms on screen that she might not be in the same echelon as her best friend Sasha Banks or Asuka or the aforementioned Kairi Sane, because she's been shown to keep throwing Sasha under the bus, and Sasha, to her credit, has been stepping up to the plate and coming through, as now she is the Raw Women's Champion. By any means necessary, but is the Raw Women's Champion. But yeah, Kairi Sane is now written off. And I'm not happy. I said last week I didn't think it was going to go well, and it did not go well. How did you feel like it went?
Yeah, we both had the prediction that there would not be a satisfying conclusion. We didn't say, we didn't predict a win to go out on. We didn't predict, like, you know, a whole segment for her. We just said a conclusion. And as far as conclusions goes, as an injury angle, it wasn't, you know, very decisive. It was, I mean, general beat them up that we've seen before. I mean, it wasn't satisfying from a narrative perspective, because the last time she was in the ring, she won, and then she just doesn't get another match. It wasn't even satisfying as a conclusion to the main event, where the good guys just looked absolutely stupid. Incredibly stupid for a count out when the... I can't even finish my sentence. It wasn't satisfying. That's how I felt.
I didn't even finish the full recap. So Asuka had Sasha dead to rights. Asuka, Kairi Sane is crying out for Asuka.
Yes.
And Asuka, of course, being the great friend she is, the fellow Kabuki warrior, she runs back to Kairi Sane to aid her. Sasha's out in the ring, just done for. And Kairi goes and gets counted out. I'm sorry, Asuka goes to save Kairi and gets counted out. And then you have Bayley come back to the ring and getting Sasha her title belt while she comes to, a la, let's say, The Rock after getting tapped out or passing out to the Mandible Claw, getting his belt handed back to him. But, yo, what happened? You know, it was just, oh, this is cool. Now it's two belts, Banks, and Bayley belt straps, and all four belts are on two women. And 5 years on from the women's revolution, it doesn't feel like, you know, a whole lot is going on for the women.
No, it just feels like Lay Cool again. It's two people. It's not the quality, but it's two names. Sasha and Bayley, let me be this really clear.
Okay, yeah.
Are great. Not good, not better than average, not great for women. They are great. But in WWE's mind, they cannot place any more importance on the singles division, on the women's tag team division, on the women themselves than spotlighting only two people. And that's my frustration.
It's terrible. And leading up to the eventual what's going to happen here, you're going to have Sasha and Bayley finally go against each other. I think the consensus has been amongst most fans has been they don't need any gold between them to tell that story.
No.
Now you've put all of the gold on them. So what do you do with the other women? Oh, I know. You have karaoke competitions. That's it. That's two steps away from bra and panty matches, man.
Yeah.
Like,
the whole point of the title is to be not in replacement of a narrative, but to make a narrative stronger. You cannot make Sasha and Bayley's rivalry any stronger because of the history that they have. It's something more meaningful than the title themselves. It's a grudge match. This is basic booking. You don't need to make that stronger. In fact, you put it on someone to either elevate the title or elevate that person. When AEW finally puts a championship on one of their younger guys, whether it be Sammy Guevara, Jungle Boy, Darby Allin, or someone who is
MJF. We'll get to that later.
When they put it on them, that's not really going to elevate the title. That's going to elevate that champion more than anything else. So to see it, it's just totally been misplayed here. You have a chance to highlight a different storyline with a champion. I mean, heck, just we're talking about, you know, fantasy booking. How about Asuka turns more into her time? Do you remember her time in the independent scene as Kana?
Kana?
Mm-hmm.
When she would have matches against Minoru Suzuki? Yeah, that woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can we bring her back? How about?
We're not ready for that.
No, we're not. But here's the thing. That's how easy it is to book for WWE's women. All you do is taking an existing persona and you say, okay, Asuka as the character is very, you know, she's very sweet and lighthearted, and she cares for her and Kairi. With Kairi gone now, this can turn her into a more dark and fiendish being. it writes itself. This is all I'm saying.
They did kind of show that a little bit. She looked despondent after the match. She was counted out. You have people tending to Sane, and she just... It looked like the start of someone that was snapping. And that is exactly what we need.
Yeah.
That is exactly what they need for Raw, because if they're not going to go ahead and put the title on someone else to shine it on them, someone has to take that spotlight. And that's some... And that kind of Asuka absolutely can. For as great as she's been in the lockdown era, her being that type, that more Kana persona, would make her that much better in the lockdown era. Elsewhere on Raw, though, as we mentioned last week, they put the kibosh on a potential Nation of Domination reboot. But the thing is, though, they can still just keep on calling it the Hurt Business, and you don't have to go that route. Because the Hurt Business is actually a really good name, I feel like, for a stable.
Yeah. No, it's good. In fact, the people they've chosen are not bad choices either. You don't
have
four similar wrestlers. You can have some difference, whereas you have Ron Simmons / Farouk, whichever you want to say. Be a mouthpiece and be a image while you have so many capable wrestlers in that Shelton Benjamin MVP, and I'm spacing on the other one, I'm sorry.
The indomitable Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, sorry. How could I forget? Yeah, but my point is there's so many capable wrestlers there. You can still do a stable with them, even if it, you know, is pushed to the side or not called the Nation of Domination, remains a Hurt Business. But it seems like things are really volatile in the WWE right now, especially on Raw.
That's an understatement.
That numerous rewrites, pushes that have started, pushes have been delayed, pushes have been postponed, more hotshot booking. That's why we have Shane McMahon has been reported to come back very, very soon.
Possibly. Money, 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 money.
Yeah. On tonight's Raw, though, at the time of filming. Yeah. What else is going on in Raw or WWE that feels constant or consistent? Was anything you were seeing this past week good?
Well, there were good things. You have the looking of a tortured soul, and I almost called him Buddy, but Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
In the ongoing storyline with the Monday Night Messiah and his one, is it two followers now? Whatever happened to Ethan Page?
Well,
Austin Theory. I'm sorry.
Page. I'm like, not
different
sure.
Promotion.
But
they had kind of built up a similar thing to where he was left aside by Zelina Vega, and it looked like Seth was coming to pick him up, and then nothing.
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes with WWE. We'll start something, and then we'll see if they carry through. I mean, we all want more of their wrestlers to get something out of creative. So when you do something with a wrestler in WWE, I'm all for it. So we'll just have to see.
So, yeah, you had, speaking of Zelina Vega and her boys, you had Andrade and Angel Garza become more of a team. They picked up, well, you had last week, they had the big win in the six-man tag match against, with Randy against Sho and the Viking Warriors or the Viking Raiders or the War Raiders or whatever they are now. It's correct. But, and then they also won an elimination tag match with the Raiders as well. And now they've kind of put themselves in kind of that prime spot for to be the next contenders for the Raw Tag Team titles. I want that to be something they build the show around going forward. I want to see more Garza and Andrade with Zelina Vega against the Street Profits with, please be with, why am I blanking on Bianca Belair's name? So apparently they had actually purposefully kept Bianca Belair on main event while the foolishness with the Street Raiders was going on,
mm-hmm.
which I'm all for that. Just maybe keep her in NXT at the time being, so there's more eyes on her. Just a thought. But
someone's going to have to job out to Charlotte a month down the road, though, so Vince's mind. No, I shouldn't say that. I don't know.
Well, how long is she going to be out?
I know.
It's going to be a while before we see Charlotte.
I'm sorry. I'm being a little negative, and that's not fair.
Probably see Charlotte in Rumble, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. A little bit longer.
Come out eighth and just tear up, just win.
I mean, sure. I could see that. Absolutely.
Charlotte and Shayna Baszler, Mania 38 or 37.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
I wouldn't hate that, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Triple threat with Asuka, actually.
Ooh. No, yeah. Kana. It's got to be Kana for the third. If we're gonna,
my bad, yeah.
If we're going to fantasy book, let's fantasy book right. I mean, come on.
All right. We got Kana. So, we got tag. We got the U.S. title belt picture. You got – we talked about the women's championship. So, you also had in the main event picture, champion Drew McIntyre. He had – accepted a challenge from Randy Orton for SummerSlam before he had his match with Drew with Dolph Ziggler. The title match that became a non-title match. Right.
Right.
Okay.
And somehow these were the stakes were going to be announced at right before the match started. And
right
the
before.
It's no longer a title match? Is that?
And it's Extreme Rules like it was.
Okay, so nothing changed, except now it's not
so
important at all.
The fact that they made it a non-title match would make one believe, oh, maybe they're going to have Dolph win one here. You have Randy come out of nowhere. If it's Extreme Rules, no DQ.
Right.
Hit Drew with an RKO. Dolph picks up a win. He gets bragging rights over the champion. And it legit sets up Randy. And you have Randy come out and start next week by challenging Drew for SummerSlam.
Sure.
They did it all backwards. Why? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe Vince just had the pages shuffled up when he gave them back.
You think
he had the last page up front? Yeah. The opener for next week on. He's got it 4 weeks down the road. He's going to rewrite it three times. He's going to write a year's worth of product in about a month. But we'll just get those four shows,
mm-hmm.
and none of them are going to be coherent
right
from one to the next. That's just Vince.
Here's what I'm going to say, just in defense of Vince, and I don't do this very much, but here's the problem.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the problem when – this is partially Vince's fault, but here's – how many storylines you have to keep track of in WWE when you are the final say of what goes forward? All those characters, all those narratives in your head – and you want to incorporate some and push some. I don't believe it's all one person's job at AEW. This is why they actually decide by committee. So I don't think any one person in either promotion could do this to keep it all scheduled and all good. Now, that being said, Vince hasn't done a good job, and it is his fault. But in that system, it's very unlikely you can get anything to work well. So
no. Because, I mean, it's been talked about that back in the Attitude Era days, he would have everyone up at his place, he'll pick someone to shove into the pool, laugh at them, and they'll write out the week's television. That's a group of people. Now, we're talking back then, it's probably Vince McMahon, Vince Russo, probably Cornette or
Pritchard.
A couple other definitely Pritchard in there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you can think of, like, the team that they had. Now, it's a bunch of television writers writing wrestling.
Yep.
You used to have people in wrestling, people that came up in wrestling that know wrestling, write wrestling shows. Now you have television writers writing a wrestling show for TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we may be finding what the issue is, what the disconnect is for us, our old fans, that miss the Attitude Era so much. It's not coming from our people.
mm-hmm.
I think that might be some of the disconnect.
I think
and
you're
I
right.
mean, it's not just Raw, it's also SmackDown as well.
Oh, sure. Well, is that a good segue into talking more about SmackDown? Is there any other?
Instead of just doubling up a downer with a downer, we'll break it up with NXT real quick.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
We didn't mention last week that Keith Lee relinquished his North American title,
right?
Which just tells me is that he's going to have it for quite some time to come. that or him and Karrion Kross hot shot it back and forth. Because that's very much where they're going now is going to be Keith Lee and Karrion Kross, mm-hmm. which I'm all here for. That's going to be fantastic. But in the meantime, they're going to be doing a triple threat ladder match at NXT TakeOver 30. Mm-hmm. And so what NXT has been doing, they've been doing triple threat matches to find people for said triple threat ladder match. And already we have Bronson Reed punching his ticket into the triple threat ladder match, which mm-hmm. is an interesting choice, and I like it. Give us big boys a chance. And then you also now have, I always want to call him Dr. Loomis because of Halloween.
Yeah. See, that's when I heard the name first time, like Loomis. That's oh, yeah. really all I can think about. Yeah, but
it's Halloween.
Dexter Loomis is also yeah. advanced to that tournament or that ladder match.
And the way they did it, too, was interesting. And now that I think about it, because we were talking a little before we started recording, the third man in that match with him yeah. and Timothy Thatcher, it was Finn Balor.
Okay, gotcha.
Because Loomis had Thatcher in the silence, and then Balor comes off with a coup de grace mm-hmm. on Loomis, and then Thatcher gets Balor in, I believe, a Kimura? Or no, it was a knee bar. And then Loomis got the silence on Thatcher, and Thatcher uh-huh. passed out. It was related to a human centipede of submissions. So there was a bunch
of horror show references tonight.
Yeah, just one right after the other. One a little bit classier than the other.
Yeah, yeah.
Never thought I'd call Michael Myers classy, but
yeah.
So you had that. You also had Dakota Kai. Kind of really staking her claim now to be the next challenger for Io Shirai. Mm-hmm. And it's weird because I feel like if Tegan hadn't got hurt again, Tegan Knox, if she had not gotten hurt, because she was hurt before she got to the WWE, and it was very much publicized that right after she was there, she got hurt again. It was a knee. They even played that up to War Games, too, with Dakota Kai going after that knee. But I feel like if Tegan Knox had not gotten hurt, she would be where Dakota Kai is now. Mm. I just kind of feel like that right now.
Okay.
But Dakota Kai kind of established herself as the next challenger. And it's also, though, however, the person that really... really ran underneath the radar after WrestleMania, Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
Also made herself known again to the women's title, which I don't know what took so long, honestly.
She was so hot when we last saw her.
She was in the triple threat match with Charlotte and Io Shirai.
Yeah.
But she was just there so Charlotte wouldn't take the pin. Let's be honest.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's how it was booked, but I'm just saying, yeah, no. You're right. She was hot in the sense of people were excited, which I know doesn't mean anything to the WWE.
Everyone thought it was a foregone conclusion that she was beating Charlotte
right.
at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And what a surprise. Let me tell you, let's see if this sounds familiar. A women's wrestler in NXT gets really hot, mm-hmm. has not an undefeated streak, but a long stretch where they're really strong. Gets booked against Charlotte at WrestleMania and doesn't win.
Yeah.
No. And then kind of slips back, kind of like Homer Simpson in the GIF, slips back to the bushes and people forget about him.
Yeah. Asuka
what does that sound like?
Asuka has never been the same since that match, as far as.
I was talking about Rhea Ripley, but yeah, that's what I was
meaning. I know it's multiple, but like exactly to your point, there's multiple people you could say ever since they got the match with Charlotte. Their character has never been seen as the same.
Yeah, and I know Charlotte would... I'm sure she does whatever she can in her career to not be referred to as Rick's daughter. But just comparing the two, because the WWE is doing whatever they can to make Charlotte look just as strong, if not stronger than her father. Rick, the one thing I always heard about Rick is that he made everyone look better. That's what he did. He would go to the territories, make their champion look like $1 million, even though it could be some dude that was mostly drunk at the bar that the show was held in.
Mm-hmm.
but Rick would make him look like the champ that he was booked as. Charlotte, there's no doing that with Charlotte. Charlotte will have great matches with people, but she is terrible for people's careers. I'm not sure why that is.
Yeah, some of that is booking, and some of that, I'm going to put it mostly on booking, because I don't think it's a situation where she quote-unquote makes them worse, because I really don't see that. And she also doesn't injure people. She's pretty safe for the most part. I'm probably forgetting something that someone's going to scream in my ear about later, but I mean...
Hell in a Cell with Sasha Banks is one thing that really comes to mind.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a...
The TLC match with Kairi Sane, too.
Okay. Oh, poor Kairi Sane. He's just been in every botch spot for the worst. What a send-off.
It's not her fault. No, it's not her fault.
No, it's not. It's really just unfortunate. And that's right. Okay. And I'm forgetting. I don't think... I really am trying to give Charlotte a credit, because she isn't her father. She's a much different wrestler. She's a dominating physical force. And, man...
It's something Rick never was.
No. Rick, he was
ever since the plane accident, always had the dad bod. He had the plane crash in what? Mm-hmm. In his late 20s?
Something like that. The dirtiest heel in the game wasn't a new gimmick for him. The
2000s. No, it was not.
Yeah.
That was the thing, though. Maybe it's because the characters are different, is you think of what they do with their opponents is different, because he was the cowardly heel. You always thought he made people look better.
Right.
As you said, Charlotte being the dominating force, very, for the most part, unquestionably the best female athlete in women's wrestling.
Sure.
There are a lot of athletic, you have former Olympians, Ronda Rousey, not so much in wrestling now, but there are other people that are very much, Casey Catanzaro with, believe what you do, American Ninja Warrior. They're a great athletes, but I'm not
Shayna,
sure.
Shayna Baszler is an MMA fighter.
Legitimately.
Didn't she face Amanda Nunes in that fight? I think she lost.
I
mean, yeah.
It would have been in Strikeforce, I believe, or W. No, not W. It would have had to have been Strikeforce before the UFC absorbed Strikeforce.
Yeah.
She legit had a record in MMA.
Yeah.
Her, as well as Jessamyn Duke and, who's the fourth? The other four horsewomen.
I know. I've forgotten it as well. That's why I'm not quick on the record, so.
But they tried to bring them along, but it was very much evident that they were not ready.
Yeah.
And not much has been made of them since. But since then, Shayna has more than enough proven that she's a strong enough character on her own. Even though some people, Vince, don't get her. I don't know why.
It's not a complicated character. The same people who don't get her pitch out Dexter Lumis, which a lot of people don't understand, even though that's another question. Like, Brian just had a great rant. Like, could somebody please explain Dexter Lumis to me? And
if you don't get it,
yeah, it's either you get it or you don't. It's not really explained sort of thing. But yeah.
And I guess it kind of speaks to the type of person we might be if we get Dexter Lumis and enjoy it.
It's a different, I think it's just a different generation thing.
The type of guy that'll creep up and throw people in a trunk and drive away.
Right.
We find the humor in that. There's gold there.
Yeah, but not everyone gets it, and that's okay.
The whole thing with him and Dream with drawing out pictures, fantastic. Elsewhere with NXT, that's a name that really kind of went away after his title match with Adam Cole.
Yeah, he got shuffled out. Dream.
I don't know if that has to do with the allegations he had come up.
He was going to be presumptive, like, he was going to be an NXT champion, like, even, like, 8-10 months ago. I remember he's like, oh, he's right on track where he's gonna be the champion, he's gonna be the face. And then I think even before the allegations, he was starting to kind of fall off in the card.
Yeah, I think actually those allegations came out leading up to the title match with Adam Cole.
Was it? Okay.
And I don't, but even if that was the case, they could have put on a better match if that was the case.
Sure.
I think of all the cinematic matches, that was one of my least favorite. But that, I don't, that was just one of the characters that I thought was, had so much potential. And, you know, when people are talking about someone's ring gear, more than other wrestlers on the card, not just other wrestlers' gear, but just other wrestlers. Everyone's looking forward to what Velveteen Dream's message is going to be on his tights next. Yeah. He had, you know, the Call Me Up Vince short, the Call Me Up Vince tights. He had the tights with Roderick Strong's wife on him, I believe, very much a la Rick Rude. You know, he's just character-wise and just, you know, the pure ability at, I believe, 25?
Incredibly young, whatever it is. It's just...
But it was just one of those names, like, what happened to him? But NXT has been so good, though, that you're not really thinking about what else is going on. Sure. Like, everyone else is literally out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
You had... You also had, of course, the more build with Karrion Kross and Keith Lee.
Yeah.
So, there's a whole bunch going on in NXT. The ongoing with... I almost called him Jordan Grimes. It's someone I went to school with. Cameron Grimes. Mm-hmm. And Damian Priest, which actually I think is really cleverly booked, because it's a much smaller man, Calvin Grimes, quite often getting the best of Damian Priest, who has been booked as just this big, cool dude, just a darker, skinnier version of Kevin Nash, basically, with more athletic moves. Much more than six moves. But it's just weird. It's hard to think that Raw and SmackDown is the same company produced by the same people as NXT.
Yeah, they got a different booker. They got a different booker.
There's nothing... It's... They're all coming from the same house. They're preaching the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's just executed differently.
Absolutely.
And it's weird that you go top to bottom at NXT. Even the Robert Stone stuff is entertaining. The stuff that's supposed to be cringe. Even that's great.
It's true.
And there's just so much on Raw and SmackDown that I'm good on.
Yeah.
You have a third of both Raw and SmackDown chopped up to Bayley, Sasha, Baron Corbin, and then Randy Orton. And that's about 60% of both shows.
They have names they think that are just, we're going to push these names. They're going to be in most of the storylines. And everybody else kind of like, you get what you get.
So real quick on SmackDown, so we can get to what we really want to gush on with AEW. You had Cesaro and Nakamura celebrate 2 weeks after winning the title.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You had a Firefly Funhouse where Bray says, we don't know where Braun's at. He might be in the swamp still. But very much so, The Fiend is here. The Fiend is a-coming. Sheamus moves on from Jeff Hardy. Hopefully, question mark. He said he's now the SmackDown roster's problem now. Hopefully he's done with Jeff, because both of them can do a lot more. I mean, the bar fight was great, but both of them can do a lot more.
Yeah.
Now Baron Corbin's going to be with Jeff, apparently. Right. You have the King's Ransom answered. I'm Matt Riddle by Shorty G, Chad Gable. Yeah. But just call him Chad Gable. Why don't we just call him Chad? Just give him his regular name back. The only thing I hope is that if it's actually going to be a Shorty G going with Baron Corbin here, you call him Naughty G if he's going to be a heel.
I think that's a great name. I think
I cannot take credit for it. I saw it on Twitter, but
no, but
Naughty
hey,
G would be great.
Anything to get fantastic off of Shorty G, I'm good. You want to call him Chad Gable? You want to know the wrestler formerly known as Chad Gable? Fine, anything.
See, you would think for as much time as him and Jason Jordan spent together in NXT, that with Jordan's current position being backstage, he wouldn't have some sort of sway, like, hey, don't do my mans like that.
Again, at the end of the day, it's up to Vince. So maybe he is pitching. I don't want to discredit him, but you just never know in Raw, SmackDown land. Anything can happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and anything can happen now, really, because Nikki Cross got a rematch at Bayley. Mm-hmm. Came up short again. There were shenanigans, some shenanigans this time, but for the most part, it came out squeaky clean that she lost to Bayley.
Right.
And you had Alexa Bliss there trying to console her, and she shoves Alexa Bliss away, which is very much not the way any of us thought things would go when they first got together.
No, everyone saw Alexa as exploiting the friendship they had, and were like, okay. So they mix up our expectations. So that was something to catch us off guard. So there's
and then really catching us off guard even more. Mm. Nikki Cross leaves Alexa Bliss, and the title comes up for SmackDown. And you think, oh, that's it. Except the lights start going off one by one, and the Fiend is back in the Performance Center, and the Fiend put the Mandible Claw on Alexa Bliss, which not something you think would be flying in 2020 in the WWE, but I don't hate it.
Yeah, if anyone's going to do it, it's got to be an ultra heel or an ultra monster. And the Fiend has been booked as something that is otherworldly at times, or at least so monstrous it can't be comprehended in a normal match. So we have to have the cinematic matches and stuff. So it makes sense that he'd go over the line. So I'm actually totally fine with that.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. As my only thought is that now they're actually going to play up to the Braun Alexa Bliss thing. Mm-hmm. It was cute when it was teased during the mixed match challenge, but I don't know how I feel about that becoming part of the storyline when it really wasn't anything in the main storyline to begin with.
All right.
It's just like grasping at straws.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to switch gears. We're going to have to switch up to AEW. Any last thoughts on WWE programming, SmackDown, Raw, NXT? We always forget something, but...
We still have no word on the hacker, but Ali's back.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be one of those storylines that's going to be forgotten, rehashed, and then given an unsatisfying conclusion. Because, it's probably one of the plans that Vince pushed away. So, we'll see.
Kind of like GTV back in the 90s?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. It's like...
Actually, no. There was no conclusion to that. Yeah. There was no conclusion to that. I guess more like the anonymous general manager story.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Rowan, I was thinking of more recent memory where the spider and then it's... Or the cage at the time. And then
or the lookalike Eric Rowan. Whatever happened to that?
Yeah, that's weird. Or the lookalike Kane that was never resolved. You know, it's not a new thing. This is a...
I believe he was seen at Talking Shop of Mania this past weekend, the lookalike
Kane. Yeah, he had a different name. I think it was like Luke? Galos?
Yeah.
Galos, I don't know. not worth mentioning, really.
No. So, as you said, AEW this past week.
Yeah, so one of the big things that everyone was looking for, and we were actually hyped for, was the War Horse match with Cody. And I will say that's probably one of the biggest shocks happened there, although I wouldn't say the match was anything too spectacular. Maybe my expectations were raised a little high with Eddie Kingston, or maybe I hyped it up too much with Warhouse. Or maybe it was just because Warhorse didn't get a promo before like Kingston, but I thought the match was good. It really didn't get better than good, if that makes sense.
They needed to give Warhorse a promo.
Yeah.
They should have not announced it. They should have had it straight up open challenge and have Warhorse pop up on the Titantron.
Mm-hmm.
And cut his great minute and 45 seconds of just pure rage and passion.
Great.
And just come out and just perform straight magic with Cody.
Yeah.
That's what should have happened.
Cody but just confused the whole time, like, who is this guy?
You have JR basically saying, who is this guy?
Okay.
And it didn't help. And he looked good. He lasted longer than the 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is the one thing I was really looking forward to. And from then, one thing I really was not expecting, considering how strong Warhorse is in the Indies, he submitted.
Yeah, he put up a good fight. He like resisted the figure four with a leg. It was like, I can't remember if it was blocking with his hand or his leg, but he did his best to resist.
He pushed it off with his hand, yeah.
But it was finally locked in by Cody, and he submitted. I think it told the story. It did its job, and I think that's all we can really say. It wasn't the best finish. It wasn't the best match. It was good. It was strong. And then after the match, we actually had a new AEW wrestler, although we're going to see how long this lasts. Some people are reporting it's only going to be
for real quick on Warhorse. I will say, I heard people talk about they weren't happy with how he sold the figure four at the end. I love the fact that he goes to grab the ref.
I like that
when
too.
Cody gets it in the last time, he grabs the ref kind of like, are you kidding me? Is this really happening right now?
No, it felt really like desperate. That. I like that.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. Like,
yeah.
As you said, the debut
of
your boy.
Yeah, my boy. That's right. The original broski, Matt Cardona, formerly known as Zack Ryder of the WWE. But he's not there anymore. That's his t-shirt. That's his stuff you can find on Pro Wrestling Tees, which he has been promoting shamelessly. But hey, that's cool. Oh. That's business, and I love it. I love it.
I mean, he's been all about self-promotion.
Yeah, I mean, and it should.
You could argue the reason why he didn't get pushed in the WWE is because he got himself so over outside of the ring.
Yeah.
With Long Island IZ.
He ran with everything he could. He tried everything. I don't know if you remember, but there was this this video app called Tout that would record a video for 15 seconds.
Oh, you mean Tout?
Yeah, that's what I said, Tout.
Get Tout out.
Yeah, Tout out. He was one of the main people there that really tried to push that. There was even actually a great Chris Jericho moment where he pinned a guy on Tout, or he was either on commentary recording, he was in some angle with WWE trying to push Tao. But anyway, in AEW, he comes back. He looks great shape. He comes back to make the save for Cody, who was attacked by Dark Order, right? If I remember correctly. Yeah. So he comes back, makes the save, and it's announced that there's going to be Matt Cardona and Cody versus, is it the Dark Order next week?
I believe it's going to be Colt Cabana, and I don't think it's Brody.
Well, you have Stu Grayson, you have Evil Uno, who are involved in the championship. You have Alex Silver. You have you have Evan Angel.
It might be Brody.
It could be Brody. Yeah, we'll see.
But yeah, I know for sure
members of the Dark
Colt
Order
Cabana
to be announced and to appear. So we're going to see. I'm very excited to see Matt Cardona and what he can do with more creative freedom. Gets to actually use his finisher, which is something I don't know the last time I saw him hit his finisher. So it's
Rough Rider.
Hey, it's not called that anymore. Sorry.
I'm getting too hyped, bro.
No, I know. Hey, I get excited, but I'm really, really excited to see what they can bring. Moving on to, another point was the the tag team championship match with Evil Uno and Stu Grayson versus Hangman Page, Kenny Omega, since we were talking about the Dark Order. How do you think the Dark Order did? It was a pretty bad day for them just in general, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Colt did okay on commentary. I think Colt was on commentary for that match. What? Or someone from the Dark Order. It was Colt, yeah. He did well on commentary. That was good enough.
Yeah. Anna Jay was looking on. Brody Lee was making sure that his team performed well. And after the match was over, Hangman and Page won. He ushered Colt and Anna Jay to the back room. So Colt, again, wouldn't see the more nefarious side of Dark Order. They're just a club. They're just a bunch of friends, as long as you don't look behind the curtain.
Yeah. Don't ask too many questions. Just drink the Kool-Aid and keep it moving.
That's absolutely right.
Also, just real quick on BTE, the straw that Nyla Rose busted out last week or two weeks ago when They try to get her to drink the Kool-Aid. I need me one of those.
The silliest of straws, I'm going to say.
The silliest of silly straws, yes. Yeah, yes.
It was really well done. Honestly, yeah. The Dark Order stuff in BTE is some of the most over stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Alex, was it Reynolds and Silver? They are just so funny together. There's a segment that they have on that was released today. When you watch it, they try to recruit the Young Bucks in a very Christian manner, is all I'm going to say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
That's why I think it's
I like that.
Yeah, it's great. The Dark Order stuff, they're growing on me. I'm just going to say, they're pushing the personalities. They haven't got the wins, and they still need some wins. But I feel like their presence is being known more, and I know more about Silver and Reynolds than I would have known as just two nameless jobbers continuing to be on AEW Dark or whatever. So in that sense, I'm happy the Dark Order's around. Hopefully it trends in the right direction. What else was on the AEW card that stuck out to you?
So you had the Dr. Britt Baker. Mm-hmm. What are the official initials? DDS?
Yeah, DDS. Right?
Dr. Britt Baker, that role model she is, she mm-hmm. officially is going to challenge. She's going to challenge Big Swole to a match against the opponent of her choosing.
Right. To be clear, Big Swole will have to get in the ring against a mystery opponent. She's not going to tell you who it is. And then if she wins, she gets to face Dr. Britt Baker. Is that my understanding?
I believe so. Okay. Yes, when she comes back. But I believe how this is going to go is at All Out, where this mystery opponent is going to have the match with Big Swole, Britt Baker is going to reveal that she might be a little bit ahead of the curve as far as healing. She's going to get involved and cause Big Swole to match. That's how I feel that's going to go.
Right. But I'm obviously looking forward to her coming back, because her and Swole not being there has really hurt the division. I will say, though, talking about the women, before we get to the AEW title match, or not the title match, the title holder, and he was in action with Darby Allin versus Cage and Starks, and honestly, a brutal match I didn't see coming. We have to talk briefly about the Women's Deadly Draw Cup, or the Women's Tag Cup that has already just started. There are some names in there I'm really excited about, some names I don't know about, and some that are an older commodity we didn't see coming. We talked about that there might be a Funkasaurus reunion, that we might see Naomi team with Cameron, and maybe the Funkasaurus comes back. It's not looking like that's the case anymore, because Cameron, or as she's known as Ariana Andrews, I'm just going to say, she showed up with Nyla Rose in the AEW Dynamite package. She's teaming with her, and she had her first match, and surprise, surprise, she's already eliminated with Nyla Rose. They went up against Tay Conti, which I will have trouble saying for a couple of reasons, and just dumb jokes that are in my head, and Anna Jay, who's part of the Dark Order.
Take on me. All right.
Oh, the silliness that we get involved to here. Anyway, they put on a really good match, except when Ariana was in, which is unfortunate because she has attitude. She is in shape physically, but when she performs moves, I don't know how to describe it. It just seems like she doesn't know what she's – there's no way, nice way of saying it. She doesn't know what she's doing. She tried a head scissors in the match, and it went very, very poorly. You could see an audible kind of groan from the wrestlers around the ring, and it takes a lot for them to groan. They usually cheer really loud because they know these are workers. They're trying really hard. But I think she was basically just fed to Nyla Rose to just beat up. I think at the end of the day,
that loss just
got Nyla angrier, and that was the entire purpose. And the other match, really quickly, it was Brandi Rhodes and Allie who took on Mel and Penelope Ford. Penelope Ford and Mel were really, really good, especially Mel. I've missed her on the women's roster. She has an aggression and a fighting spirit that the women just don't have, other than Nyla, that aggression needs to be replaced. So either Nyla or Mel, pretty much, I think, needs to be on every Dynamite, one or the other, because it's this viciousness that she just exudes so good. They lost to the Nightmare Sisters, which was weird because me and Tyler were talking before. We thought this was a deadly draw. In fact, that's what it's called. Why is the one tag team in women's wrestling for AEW the only one that got to exist in this tournament?
I guess you call it the luck of the draw.
Not so deadly, is it?
No, I mean, if you really want to break it down, normally you have a 50-50 chance of getting picked with your partner. But uh-huh. You had 16 people and Samoa Joe. No, I'm just going to stop there. but I guess if you really want to break it down numbers-wise, it's not that long of a shot,
right,
that they got paired together. However, if this is just do you remember when the Nightmare Collective kind of dissolved and yep. Brandi said she was going to take a back seat
mm-hmm.
and just kind of be more of the front office type of deal?
Yeah.
Legit being like the CBO, the chief branding officer of AEW. Then like mm-hmm. her spots in BTE even went to more corporate of showing like things they're doing in different stadiums to make people with sensory issues feel more comfortable.
The heels promotion. Stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was fine with that. And then all of a sudden now she's wrestling again. Where did this come from? Yeah. I get that you have a limited roster now with only so many people being able to make it to the tapings.
Mm-hmm.
But is wrestling just an itch that Brandi has to keep scratching?
Yeah. So they actually do talk about this a little bit in the post-match analysis. They have an interview. And Brandi's like, you know, for the first time, I really feel like a superstar. So they're at least aware of that narrative. I don't know what they're going to do with it, but they are aware of it. And I agree. There's a couple moments in AEW where it almost seemed like WWE booking. And I'm going to talk about that really quickly after I let you talk. I'm sorry. I'm burning all the time in AEW.
Well, I just said that to say this because I feel like, have they determined if this is going with women's tag titles? Is that the end game in this?
I think it's like a trial run to see if they can do it. But like we said, there's not that deep of a roster, so we'll have to see. But they're trying to build the tag teams, for sure.
Because I was thinking either it's going to end up being tag titles or the winners face each other for a title shot.
There will be some kind of narrative paid off. They've done very good about these tournaments and stuff, so I'm not sure, but yeah, there's going to be some advancement of the story. They have not announced it, and I don't actually know.
Maybe they should have tied that up before they started the tournament.
Yeah, hopefully they have an idea. I'd like to hope they do. But yeah.
Only because this kind of just seems like a way for Brandi to be involved somehow.
Sure, absolutely. And
just to be involved. And she's a great character. She knows the business very well.
Mm-hmm.
She's capable of taking that odd bump, but like, I'm good on watching Brandi wrestle.
Yeah, absolutely. It almost feels like AEW's pushing this conspiracy angle really hard right now. Dr. Britt Baker actually commented about those two being paired up. Like, you see, there is a conspiracy theory. Another wrestler who's talked about a conspiracy going on.
What a segue. AEW.
Oh, I'm just full of them.
Super smooth, sir.
Oh, yeah, thank you. MJF, the politician, I have to say, with a new entrance title where he has the entire continental United States up on the screen in the MJF plaid, I guess, or the scarf color, and just
the MJF Burberry.
Yeah.
The Burberry plaid.
He's coming to the stage in this great promo segment that was honestly might be my highlight of the week of non-wrestling parts of wrestling shows. He's kissing babies. He has Secret Service staring down people. He had
about 5 minutes of heat, straight heat that he spewed.
Oh my goodness. By the end of the day, I was ready to go out in the polls and vote against whoever he was running against, even if it was
MJF 2020.
I am all about it. We actually have a couple of just angles for political things. We have the Jericho versus Cassidy debate with a mystery moderator and stuff like that. But
not mystery. I don't know if you heard that.
I haven't, so
I'll hold it. I'll let you experience it.
I'll embrace the sweet ignorance, sweet bliss of ignorance for a little bit while longer. But MJF was very, very strong, and he talked about basically, listen, everyone's got these title shots before me, even though I'm undefeated. And I think that was very intentional leading up to the main event of the night, where you had Darby Allin teaming with Jon Moxley against Ricky Starks and Brian Cage in was a really
tornado tag, DQ.
No DQ, no rules. So you had thumbtacks appear again, this time on the back of a skateboard replacing wheels. That may have been the nastiest bump I've seen in AEW in quite a while. Worse than anything else Eddie Kingston laid out. And I know they used thumbtacks, but the absolute sliding of the thumbtacks across Ricky Stark's back, I cringed so hard that I felt like an absolute like chill run through me, even though I was scrunched so tight. It was so bad.
Yeah, so they had also, I think Ricky Starks needed to just permanently wrestle in those flats that he performed the beatdown in 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
The no support on the heel, though they just look like old school house shoes, old man slippers, he basically was beating up Darby Allin in, and they didn't come flying off like they were Matt Riddle's flip-flops. It was amazing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Ricky Starks, more man than I. I'm not letting any man jump on my back with a skateboard with thumbtacks replaced as wheels.
No.
No, I'm good.
Yeah. Some people are saying that was almost a receipt for the previous week because Starks gave a Darby a reported concussion and that Starks felt so bad for it. He's like, all right, bud, I deserve this. So some people are saying that he's the one who lobbied to have Darby do that spot. So, he looked awful. Just awful. I can't express that enough.
That's like some like Mick Foley stuff you would hear. Like, all right, I'll let you do this to me.
Yeah.
Like, that. Like this is a special kind of person, but all right, you got me here. Mm-hmm. And if you mentioned the concussion when, really, if you think about the spot, almost similar to when Enzo had the scary spot against Simon Gotch, where he kind of whiplashed his head, except this was the top of middle rope.
Yeah.
He was coming in instead of going out of the ring. Mm-hmm. But yeah, similar situation, but Darby being the crazy man he is wrestling the next week.
The crash test dummy. And not only just wrestling, he's wrestling for the title as a MJF previous segment.
Oh, and jumping off the entrance way.
Oh, Darby, he just absolutely has the crazy spots that no one ever.
So yeah, the way the entrances went.
Yeah.
Jon Moxley's music came, then Darby's music played, and Darby's music played a little bit more, and then there was no Darby. Mm-hmm. And then out come Taz with Brian Cage and Ricky Starks. And I was expecting them to be dragging Darby Allin out to make it a handicap match. But yeah, no, Darby Allin just jumps off with a coffin drop right on top of him from the entrance ramp.
To start the match.
Yeah, that's how we start things. The Bucks ended last week's show coming off the entrance ramp. But nah, Darby's like, we're going to start this one that way. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like you said, after the finish, you have Darby hitting the skateboard, and that went into a paradigm shift, I believe.
Yeah, an odd combination of moves that didn't look smooth at all, but it
effective. No, but very much effective. Mm-hmm. You could argue the first was more effective than the latter. But after the match, you have Darby Allin just kind of gestured towards Jon Moxley, basically. Yeah, like you. I like the look of that. I want me some of that.
I want that. And I think the commentator said that the match was scheduled for next week, but I don't think the wrestlers knew that it was scheduled. So he just happened to be just like, by the way, I also want that.
Yeah.
Kind of strange. There's a couple strange things at AEW. Like, okay. We'll kind of just see where that goes. But just kind of things.
I think that goes to MJF interrupting the match.
Yeah, absolutely.
To give another podium speech about the wrongs that he's been dealt and the not only the conspiracy, but the bias being shown in AEW.
I'd love to see Britt Baker and MJF team up to expose the conspiracy together. That would be great.
bring in Alex Jones as their mouthpiece.
I don't want to bring in Alex Jones. You're crazy.
Oh, but those promos. Those promos. Let him go for 35 minutes to start every show.
Can we just have Alex Jones do the 50 seconds for the over 50s on BTE?
Oh!
He'll use that. Because I don't need him on national television, but he'd be a great BTE spot.
I think that's the newest segment they've been doing, because I think now that's three weeks old. That's been so great.
Great.
That's been fantastic.
Yep.
yeah, the 50 over 50, if you want to talk about demos. The one demo AEW cannot crack for whatever reason.
They've been doing better, but they definitely don't have a hold on it like they do their Prime demo.
I feel like the mystery moderator would help towards that demo.
Okay. All right. You leave me in great suspense. I'm going to try to avoid it for a couple more days. I probably will fail, but hey, I'm very
good. Hey, you've got, this is now Monday evening. You've got less than 48 hours to get there. You're almost there.
Almost there. I haven't tried to avoid it, and now I can. So
you got
to
go Zero Dark 30 mode like LeBron in the playoffs.
Oh, that's really hard for someone who has like three podcasts to do. But I'll do my
best. Yeah, that is tough.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on AEW or just wrestling world in general? We spent a lot of time, but I feel like we actually got in pretty deep on a couple of different things.
Yeah, we did. If there's anything off the top, no. Like off the top of my head, not really, except that's it.
There was really quick the Hikaru Shida versus Diamante match. It wasn't great. Shida did the best she could with Diamante, or I'm probably messing up her name, but it's...
No, you're right. It's Diamante.
Okay.
It kind of looks like Dynamite, but yeah.
I know.
Diamante.
I always worry about messing that, but it's, like we said, the women aren't just up to the caliber. We have Shida, Nyla Rose, Britt Baker, Big Swole, and then everybody else right now. And
Diamante and Eva Lise put out a really good match last week, I feel like.
I'm going to disagree with you. It felt so slow. It just...
Really?
Yeah, and not like slow, like well-paced. Like slow, like they were not clicking and just things were in slow motion, but...
So apparently they go back a ways. They used to tag. They used to be enemies. Okay. They're almost... Yeah, so...
There was a good story.
There was a good story, but maybe not... so obvious to most of the audience, but
no.
I have a feeling, because you said they still haven't announced all the teams, even though the tournament started for the Deadly Draw, correct?
No, either one of those people, either one of them could be either tagged together or tagged apart. So that's only
going to say it's
been revealed.
Well, if we'll know a little bit more if the Hikaru Shida isn't part of this field.
No, I wouldn't imagine she would be. I think it's the whole point is to highlight some of the, not younger talent, but the talent that they haven't pushed as much as they've done with Anna Jay and Tay and Kong.
The thing that sucks about that, though, is that a lot of their talent that they had when AEW first started is not available right now.
No.
Talk about B Priestley's and some of the other people that, you know, had more prominent roles earlier on in AEW that just can't get there right now.
The first AEW women's champion.
Riho, yeah.
No, not available.
It is really sucks because Riho just... Is there anything more purely positive in wrestling than Riho?
She is Kairi Sane if she was in AEW. That's my opinion. Because they have similar builds.
But like three quarters of the size. She's smaller than Kairi Sane.
Is she really? Man, it's just because Kairi is...
I feel like Kairi Sane's at least 100 pounds.
I know. It just...
Not 86 or whatever Riho is.
I know. It just... You're right. But it just... She is in a world of a lot more monsters. When you have the Charlotte, the Shayna, you have just incredible athletes. My point was from a booking perspective, that's what Kairi should have been. She should have been appreciated for the wrestler she is, despite her size as being a smaller wrestler. Which she, like you said, she even isn't that small. So, anything else?
So yeah, I guess. The last thing is we should have gotten more out of Miss Sane.
Absolutely.
It's insane that we'll be missing Miss Sane for as long as we will be now. It's the best elbow in the game, really. Just you never would have thought to go parallel with your opponent would be a more effective way to do the elbow drop, but apparently it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
All you got to do is just like throw your feet above your head and come down.
Yeah. Never forget her moment when she had, was it Jazzy Gabbert, when she won the tournament she was initially involved in to get her into WWE, which the...
That was the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah, the Mae Young Classic. That was her highlight of her WWE career. And I want to take solace in the fact that WWE did see something in Kairi and did reward her a couple times, and none bigger than that Mae Young Classic.
It was cool to see the NXT Women's Championship in a treasure chest.
Yeah, it was
really which cool. Only just brings me back to what could have and should have been this past year at WrestleMania, mm-hmm. and what they could have done with a pirate ship in the vicinity of that stadium, mm-hmm. and a pirate princess. Like, it's all there for you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it really does suck. And to not end on a somber note, oh, now I gotta dig here. I don't even know.
I think we'll just have a bittersweet, a melancholy note of, This is Kairi Sane's moment. We're just going to kind of end the episode with her. To the best elbow in the game, we salute you, Kairi. And thank you so much for listening to us, to take your time, and just listen to a couple guys talk wrestling in the wide world that it is. It's kind of strange times, and it's even stranger in wrestling, which is saying something. But for all of us here at the No Countouts Pod, I'm Matt Dahlberg. This is Tyler Pearson. I'm at m_broski21 on Twitter. You can find Tyler at, I'm going to forget it, so I'm just going to let you say it.
T_Pearson104, number 10, letter F-O-U-R. And the show is No Countouts Pod.
That's right. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great evening and go enjoy some wrestling.